Hey, thanks for joining us. We're in a series on community, and we've been talking over the last few weeks on what community is, why community is important, and I want to begin today by reading some scripture from Romans from the Message. This is what it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And we've been talking about this idea of community. I kind of kicked it off by talking about how community for us as the Christian isn't optional. It really is God's answer to so many things. And we've begun to walk some of those things out. Tim came and joined us and talked about how community is more like a potluck than a buffet. And, you know, I think it's good for us to see that word picture, right, and see some of the things that are associated with both of those things. I think, honestly, that, you know, church for most of us in this day and age has been kind of presented as a buffet, whereas I think it's an opportunity for us now to get back to some of the basics of what Jesus has invited us into. Definitely looks more like a potluck. And last week, Stephen shared on the golden circle of community, kind of the why before the what and the how. And it was so good to hear him talk about how we are a family, like in this word that he used, family, as a community is this joined together, right? That we are a family of faith, joined together as a community to see the kingdom of God advance, to see people transformed into the image of Jesus, us becoming fully who Jesus designed us to be, the best versions of ourselves, and that's best done in community. It really isn't optional. It is God's answer, and it does require an investment from us in that. And we're better together. We are a family. And really, one of the great things he said in that message, if you missed it, you can go back and watch it, is that as the church, nobody should out-community the church, right? No other institution should out-community us. No one should care more deeply. No one should love more enthusiastically, right? And this is the heartbeat of all that God has invited us into with community. Today, what I'm hoping to do, what I'm learning is that we would maybe move from a place of learning what community is or why community is so important into how to do community. What are some of the things that we've been given that help us build community, right? Because I don't think it comes naturally to everyone, and in certain seasons and in certain situations, we all need a little bit of help or a little bit of encouragement to build that community. I think too, it's interesting, so much of Christianity and so much of what we do in church, it seems to be based around believing what Jesus said, when I think often actually a lot of Christianity is not just believing the things that Jesus said, but actually actively engaging in the life that Jesus modeled for us. And so it's not just something to believe, it's something to do. And in fact, in John, Jesus said to his disciples, which I think he says to us as well today, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, right? And I don't know about you, but as an American, I just don't like it when people tell me what to do, right? But Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do the things I've asked you to do. You'll do the things that I've taught you to do. Actually, you'll do the things that I've modeled for you to do. And for us, that's kind of the switch, right? I want to move us into a time of talking about some of the things of what it looks like, how to do community. And I've been reading this book, right? I've been reading this book lately called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's by a pastor in Portland, Oregon. And he said something in it that kind of just really shifted, or maybe it was one of those penny drop moments for me. And this is the cool thing about this, right? Even as a pastor, we're all learning. And that's one of the things we'll talk about today. But I want to invite you into a space where we're all learning together, right? That there's no expert here. I'm not an expert at building community. I'm a journeyer with you in this. And he was talking about my favorite verse. Not long ago, during one of the favorite series, I talked about this verse because it's one of my favorites. And it was the one from Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where it says Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's actually talking to a group of people, and he says some really challenging things. And then he prays, and then he leans into those closest to him, and he talks to them in this way. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you weary? Right? Then take my yoke upon you. Watch how I do it. Learn from me, right? And Eugene Peterson famously has paraphrased this verse with, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Right? There's this invitation to a different kind of life. There's an invitation to a new way to live. And as I was listening to that, as I was reading this book, he talks about how for so many Christians, and myself included in this, we want a way of escape out of the world that we're in right now, right? We know that whatever it is we're experiencing wasn't the way that it was meant to be, and so we're looking for an out. But Jesus doesn't give us an escape. He gives us equipment, right? The yoke is something that they would put on the cattle in order to help plow the land, right? And we've just gotten more sophisticated in our machinery, right, these days and ages. I was watching a television program recently where the farmer had a tractor that was made by Lamborghini. I mean, like, are you kidding me? It's like the greatest thing ever, right? But for us as Christians, what is the equipment that Jesus has given us, right? And so that's what I want to talk about today. I've been learning. A friend of mine, Marjan, gave me another book by Michael Frost called Surprise the World. And in it, he begins to lay out some of the how we can be missional, right? How we can build community, how we can live this life that Jesus has invited us into to see the world know that there is this rule and reign in Christ, and that everyone can know about it, that everyone can find purpose and joy and fulfillment in it. And instead of it being like another burden, right, another thing to do, he kind of lays out these points for us to engage with as a new way of living a missional life. And that's my hope, is that we would learn these things, that we would see these things become part of our life groups, part of our multiplication groups, part of our connection groups, part of just how we do life as a community of faith, as people who have said yes to Jesus, that I will follow you, that I won't just believe what you've said, that I'll actually engage and participate actively in the life that you offer. And so for us, it's an opportunity, really, to take seriously the words, the teachings, and the life that Jesus invites us into. And so Mike Frost talks about this, and there's an acronym. It's an easy one. If you're taking notes or want to write it down, it's BELLS. And so we're going to look at BELLS today and maybe gather and glean some information about how we can walk in this together. There was a philosopher named Aristotle, and he wrote something that was really interesting to me. He said, "We are what we repeatedly do." He said, "Excellence then is not an act, but it's a habit." So I want us to transfer that idea to the life of faith, right? Faith then is not a single act, it's a choice. It's a belief system, but it's even more than that. It's a habit that we do. And so these things that I'm going to talk about today, I hope you don't see them as just single things that are one-offs, but that they would become more in line with a life well-lived, habits that we can engage in. Maybe at the beginning it becomes something that we have to put in our calendar, right? That it's a reminder that we put on our calendar or our phone, but then it would begin to find a rhythm. And I think that's a lot of what we're missing, right? Is a healthy Jesus-styled rhythm. So the first thing I want to talk about is this idea of to bless, right? And that's the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for blessing is barak. And really what it means is to empower to strength, right? To speak encouragement, to bring like acts of kindness, words of affirmation, but also like a bold generosity, right? And so I want to talk a little bit about this in terms of kind of how I've seen this play out in my life. For so many years, if you would have known me earlier in my life, sarcasm was my mother tongue, right? Like I'm the guy that, and nobody likes this guy, just so you know, even if you think he's funny, nobody likes him. It remember the person that you just finished a film that you enjoyed, or you read a book that was particularly great, and you just wanted to share that with somebody, right? You were like, I just saw this film, it was so good. And I'd be like, yeah, I saw it. It was terrible acting. The cinematography was awful, right? Nobody wants to hang out with that guy, right? Sarcasm and his first cousin cynicism were kind of the native languages that I dealt with. And I got to the point in my life where I really did believe that people were friends with me, like in spite of me, right? Like it was almost their spiritual discipline was to befriend Ryan, because boy, if they didn't do it, no one was going to. And boy, I thought it was funny, right? I just thought I was being funny. And really what I was a jerk. Like, that's just the honest truth. And believe me, I'm not being hard on myself so that you'll come and tell me how nice and likable I am. I know I'm likable now, but it's not because the Lord hasn't done a huge work in my heart. I remember reading in Acts, right? We were reading through the Bible in our life journal, and we got to Acts, and we would read the New Testament twice in a year. And we got to Acts, and it was in chapter 4 that I read about this guy, Joseph. Except the apostles didn't call him Joseph. They called him Barnabas, right? And Barnabas was this guy, like he must have been an amazing guy, right? Because this is how they described him was, yeah, here's this guy named Joseph, but let's call him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And even in this story, right, in chapter 4, Barnabas sells some of his land and comes and brings the gift of that land's commission to the apostles and lays it at their feet. And I thought, you know what? I want to be known not for sarcasm. I want to be known for encouragement. I want to be known as someone that is life-giving. And, you know, it wasn't very easy at the beginning of it, because my look on life and the way that I would react to certain situations was with sarcasm. It was a defense mechanism. And I slowly was able to become more aware of that. And the Holy Spirit really helped me to begin to see it, not only when I would do it, but when others would do it to themselves, when others would speak negatively. And this is what life talk is, right? Refusing to believe negative things about myself and negative things about others. And this is where you have to have a little bit of courage, and I did too. If I was in a conversation with someone or multiple people and I would hear somebody say something negative about themselves, I would just stop and say, look, I don't believe that. Like, I don't believe that about you. And I can remember some very specific instances that this happened where I began to say, no, that's not true. You might believe that's true about yourself, but I don't. And I began to encourage people and You know, I found that verse from Proverbs. You've probably heard me say it before. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And there became like this, almost like a momentum, right, of awareness and understanding that, boy, my words are powerful. And I don't need to be funny. Yeah, it's great to be funny, but it's even more great to build up, to build up in a life-giving way. And so I prefer to speak life talk. And I wish I could say that I've defeated the dragons of sarcasm and cynicism, but they do creep their heads up every once in a while. And that's why it's good to be in a community where people will say, "Hey, Ryan, you're kind of negative. Like, why are you negative?" You know, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, no, I want to be like that guy Joseph that everybody called Barnabas. Like, I know that I did stand for this, but now I can stand for something different." And not only that, right, this idea of refreshing and being refreshed, but Barnabas, like, had a bold generosity to him. And that's also a part of this empowering to strength, right? This idea of blessing people around us. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a group of people, a family of faith, a community that's intertwined, that is so generous. Right here at Good Life, like, whether it's the Life House or groceries for single moms or you know, the scholarships for kids to go to youth camp, this is one of the most generous groups of people that I've ever been a part of. And I'm so grateful that we lift up and pray for our global impact partners. I was just having a chat with one of them the other day, Va B in Myanmar, which the situation there is grim. Like, to our eyes and our understanding, it's not great. But you know what he was doing? He was encouraging me, right? I'm like, "We just sent you money for these oxygen machines and you're encouraging me," right? Like, people in your church are passing away from COVID and you're asking how you can pray for me. And I'm like, "You're such a blessing to our community." And I want to reciprocate that. I want to be able to bless those as well. And that's a huge part of it. So I guess my question for myself and for you is who can we bless this week? Who can we build community with and bless, speak words of affirmation, encourage with this bold, no strings attached generosity to build up life and joy in people's lives? The second one is of bells is E, and that's eat, right? Sharing a meal with somebody, sharing a meal with many somebodies. You probably know me well enough by now to know that cooking and eating are two of my favorite things. So I'm not gonna waste any of your time talking about tomahawk steaks or smoked ribs and chicken, but I just want to get to the real meat of the issue here. And that's, boy, a consistent and ongoing commitment to eat together with people is a life-changing decision. An ongoing, consistent commitment to opening up a home or to being a part of opening up a home is a life-changing decision. I remember when I first moved here, I had some people that were introduced to me, and they invited my family over for a Monday night curry night. And it was this thing that happened every Monday night. And it was different curries and different things and different people. It was a revolving door, but it was an open door and an open table. And I still have relationship with those people that invited us into their home. And what was modeled for me was, it doesn't matter what's happening on a Monday night, we're inviting people over and we're going to eat some kind of curry or some kind of delicious epic meal, right? And that means it could be 5-minute rice, it could be something that was in the crock pot all day, or it could be takeaway. What's important isn't so much the food that's on the table. I mean, I I kind of enjoy it when that's good food. But what's even more important is the consistent and ongoing commitment to being together, right? And this is a picture of what the New Testament would call like these love feasts, right? These times where we would get together and we would remember what it means to be alone. But now we know we're not alone because Jesus is with us. And he's at the center of what all of that is. He's the reason it all actually happens. It doesn't matter what food you're eating. What matters is that we do get together. I know that we live complicated and busy lives. I know that there are times when the last thing I want to do is be around people. But what I've found is those are the times that it's so important to engage. And to take one of those 21 meals that we eat a week and begin to invite others into that space. What would it look like for you? Maybe it in the complexity of your season of life, it might mean just eating together as a family. Maybe it would mean inviting someone over, maybe going to meet someone somewhere for a meal. I think we often get caught up in the difficulty, in the fact that it's not happening and how do we start it. But I think we all have to start somewhere, either inviting someone until they say yes, or trying someone new. That's kind of the whole idea behind community, is not everybody is going to say yes, but someone will. And something amazing can happen from that. So we've got bless, and we've got eat, and we've got listen. It's the third one. Listening to God, taking time to slow down, right? To engage in maybe some solitude or some silence, some quiet time, right? This is, I think, kind of how we often hear it described, making sure that we have our quiet time or our devotional. The space to slow down and listen to God, listen for God, right? Even here in the garden, right? The park, I can hear the birds. I can hear the wind in the trees. And I see the sunlight, you know, kind of come down through the leaves, casting, you know, a bright light on them. And I begin to see the beauty of God's creation. And I begin to breathe more deeply. I begin to hear things that I haven't heard in a while. My heart and my mind can quiet before the Lord. I think practicing listening for and to God is so amazing because it puts us in this place of then being able to listen to others. I'm sure that we've all been in these conversations where we were short on time or we were wanting to talk to somebody different, and yet we found ourselves in a conversation with, I don't know, just somebody different. Or it's happened to us, right? Where the entire time somebody's looking at their watch or looking off in the distance and reminding us that we're the last person they want to be talking to, right? And I've done it. I'm guilty. And I think that a part of that is because I don't often stop and listen to God or listen for God enough. To slow down, to not be in a hurry, right? These are simple things, right? Just awareness, but listening to God, turning off the music, turning off the podcasts, turning off the phone, and just exhaling. Maybe even beginning to reflect or meditate on songs or worship songs or scriptures that we already know. What is God speaking to us? How can I listen for him? And then how can I listen to others? How can I give people my full attention? How can I honor them? Honoring them by listening builds community. So not only listening, but The next L is learning. When Christians learn and really dig deep into the life and teachings of Jesus for themselves, it transforms so many things. This is a really big one. I have a high value on this. I love learning. I love having the information, right? Like the problem is for me, it's about security and about looking smart and looking good. But when we really dig in to learn about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and the things he taught and what the scriptures say, it can transform the atmosphere around us, right? Because we're learning it for ourselves. So often, I think many Christians, the only thing that they're learning is what they've heard from the pastor every Sunday or maybe a Facebook post, right? Like our lives are so hurried and condensed that we might catch a podcast once a month, or we might catch a live service or an online gathering once a month. And that might be the full and total sum of my spiritual content for the month. That's not true for everybody, I know that. But in the hurried pace of life and the way in which we're living and kind of the anxiety of everything that's going on, it's sometimes easier to just look at our phone and doom scroll or look at Instagram instead of actually taking an active and engaging look at what it looks like to learn. There's so many amazing resources for us to dig deep, right, into the scriptures, to learn what they mean. I love how in Acts we see, right, Luke talking about the Bereans heard the word, right, and then they searched the scriptures, right? They were going to see that this was really what the scriptures were saying, and they were going to make it a part. It was already a part of their daily routine. And I think that that's important for us to really, as a community, right, we believe in development. We believe that we're supposed to be an active and purposeful part of people learning what it means. This is why we would do the things like the missions group or the Tuesday night Bible studies with YWAM and all kinds of different things that we're doing with life groups. Learning is an important part of building community. But first, we have to get into this space of valuing that and wanting to honor that, listening to God, listening to others, but also finding space to learn for ourselves. The last one, the last acronym or letter for the word bells that Mike gives us in Surprise the World is the word sent, right? And this idea of seeing ourselves differently, right? To rethink, to reshape what it looks like for our activity in this, right? You know, the Great Commission is this huge overarching thing that kind of is always in the back of our mind. Am I doing enough? Am I telling enough people about Jesus? Am I doing the things that are required of me so that nobody goes to hell, right? It becomes this huge burden. And I don't remember if you were here when I spoke a few months ago, but I talked about this idea, right, in Mark of the Great Commission is as we are going, right? This idea that we're all sent. We're all a part of this expanding kingdom. Once we've said yes to Jesus, it's not only across the world, it's across the street. And so it's this idea that we're all a part of God's unfolding plan, even if you think that your life is ordinary, right? You're a part of it. All of us are a part of it. And here's like the secret to that is that none of our lives are ordinary. I'm like, even if you think that there is nobody more ordinary than you, right? Like it might just be that you go to work and you do your things and it's the most vanilla kind of existence that you could imagine. In the kingdom of God, in this interwoven, interconnected community, your life is important. And I think it's important for us to know that and to affirm that for you, that there are no ordinary lives. I was talking to my friend Anne today. Anne is amazing. She is just one of the best people that you'll ever meet. And we were talking kind of about when her mother had passed away, and they were going through all of her belongings. And she said, I was going through my mom's Bible, and I found this note that she had written on, and I keep it with me, right? And it was a take on the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi, and I'm not even sure if he's the one who said it, but it gets attributed to him a lot. And she said she had written on this little piece of paper, preach the gospel, sometimes use words. I love that, right? I love that. And this idea that there are no ordinary lives, that we're all sent, that we're all a part of this mission to become who Jesus designed us to be. And in this idea of becoming, right, that in this idea of becoming, this decree, right, that God has said over us, that we should be conformed to the image of Jesus, that in that decree there is a direction. And when we become the people that God designed us to be, like, we can't help but influence those around us with the goodness and the joy and the laughter and the life that Christ has. There are no ordinary lives. We're all preaching some sort of gospel, some sort of news. I hope that it's good. But I want to ask you, like, do you think that this is really what's going on for you? Do you see yourself a part of that idea of us kind of learning together, going on this journey of blessing, of eating, of listening and learning and being sent? Right? Or when I talk about this, like, this is the thing maybe reverberating in your ears. I can't do one more thing. Right? It's like the Mission Impossible theme music starts up, right? Your mission, should you choose to accept it. I wish I could sing, make the little noises for you, but I can't remember how they go. Dun, 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 dun. No, that's not it. I was close. But like, is that what goes on when you hear me talk about this? Like, do you feel like, oh, that sounds awesome, but I just can't. I just don't have the space. I just don't have the energy. I just don't know if I can do it. I'm like, I get it. I think in this season, for many of us, like, we're worn out. We're tired. We're anxious. The future is unknown, and there's so much to fight about. But I want to get us back to where we started, right? Like, take your everyday, your ordinary but not ordinary life, and place it before God as an offering, right? Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. And I want to maybe like get us back to this place of remembering that it's not just the words of Jesus to believe, but it's the life of Jesus to be lived. Like, there's this idea in Scripture that we just have ignored. And it's the idea of Sabbath, right? To be with God, right? One day a week. And I know that's like a big ask, but I think that God is inviting us into something that is so beneficial and so life-changing and so full of His beauty and His goodness and His glory, that in order for us to actually build community, to be a blessing, to live this Bells kind of life, that we can't do it without Sabbath. And I know that there's this idea that Like, I just can't add one more thing, right, to my life. And I get that. But I also think that we're at a place and we're in a time where a day off is just not going to fix us. I know it's not going to fix me. Like, and I love a day off. It's more than a holiday. It's more than just thinking about the fun thing that I want to do in a few months' time. It's actually reorienting my life around the life of Christ, around the life of Jesus, and getting away from the fact of thinking that if I just believe the right things, everything's going to turn out okay. But no, I want to believe the good news, but I also want to live the good news. And I think that's the invitation for us today, is as we look at that golden circle of community, right? Like, we have the best why, right? We have the most amazing why. People matter to God, so they matter to us. And we've got lots of ideas around how and what that looks like. But for us to effectively and transformationally and joyfully engage in building community, I think we got to get back to Jesus. I want to read a verse to just kind of finish us off today. It's that verse from Matthew 11. It says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Jesus is waiting to go on this journey with us, with me, with you. He's inviting us into a new way to live. He's inviting us to use his equipment, new tools for our tool belt. I hope that you'll join us on this journey together, because isn't that what community is all about?